This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about car warranties. I'm joined by barrister Rebecca Jones from 23 Essex Street Chambers in London. Rebecca is highly regarded by lay and professional clients alike for her down-to-earth approach and her commercially focused advice. She advises and appears in a broad range of commercial matters, and she has a particular experience in litigation concerning warranties. Rebecca is also frequently involved in the delivery of internal and external seminars, including speaking in conferences held by the local law society. Thank you for joining me today, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me, Hattie.
Good morning, good morning. Right, car warranties. Well, Car Dealer Magazine has reported that car warranty claims were up by over 30% by March 2021, with the most common faults being water pump failures, injectors, which I sort of know, I think I know what they are, airflow sensors, alternators, and fuel pumps. And then you've got the Car Expert, who reported that sales of warranty policies have soared up by almost 25%, so similar figures there. So whilst an extended warranty can give you a peace of mind if you own or are buying a car that is a few years old, what are the pros and cons of splashing the extra cash on a car warranty? Rebecca, let's start off with discussing what do most car warranties cover, please?
So just by way of background, a car warranty is hopefully going to provide you with some protection and prevent you from having to pay out for some unexpected costs if anything goes wrong with a certain part of your car. One thing that I think it is important to note is that often car warranties will include repair costs, including labour costs. And I think probably most people will know that when they've had any issues with their car in the past, labour costs can be an expensive part of any repairs too. So that's something to definitely bear in mind. In terms of what is actually covered, obviously most warranties will have their own terms, and my probably a theme of this podcast will be
read the T's and C's. Yes.
But the sort of things that you're probably going to be looking at, maybe engines, brakes, clutch, gearbox, suspension, steering, and air conditioning. But what, again, as I always say, make sure you have a look at it and have a look at it before you purchase it, because obviously if there's anything in there that you don't understand, ask the person that you're buying the car from for them to explain it to you. And then at least, you know, you're fully aware of everything if you do ever have a problem and you need to rely on it in future. But yeah, generally, obviously check your small print, see what's covered. I think one thing, sort of looking at what isn't covered, it's really important to remember that it isn't an insurance policy, so not everything is going to be covered. So quite often they don't cover things that could easily be replaced. For example, a battery, it's probably not going to cover, you know, wheels, tires, that sort of thing. And quite often they are limited to fair wear and tear.
Yes, we're going to come on to that. And you mentioned brakes, and I think it's really important to mention perhaps that brake pads, I have never seen a warranty that covers brake pads, but brakes as in the mechanical side could be covered. I mean, a warranty, we say it's not an insurance policy, and it's absolutely not sort of that insurance policy, but essentially it's between you as the purchaser and the manufacturer or the warranty supplier, because there's external warranty suppliers, that's designed to cover the cost of replacing or repairing faulty components, provided, as you say very clearly there, Rebecca, that those items are covered under the terms of the warranty. But does a car warranty come automatically when you purchase a used car? I mean, is it something that you know, you can rely on as being there if you go to a reputable high street dealer or a branded dealer and you buy a car? I mean, what we do know is that warranties, manufacturer's warranties, you know, they cover anything between 3 to 7 years. That's a new car. I've seen warranties up to 3 years, and then I've seen some being advertised 7 years. And there are three types of warranties, aren't there? There's a manufacturer's warranty, a dealer's warranty, and then you've got the extended warranty. But when you go and purchase a used car, or a new car, definitely, or a used car, does it automatically come with that? Should it?
In terms of a new car, I would say generally most do come with a manufacturer's warranty.
Well, if it doesn't, don't buy it, is what I would say, because a brand new car should absolutely come with a warranty. And I'd say, do you know what, if something comes with less than 3 years as a new car, I'd be a little bit wary as to why that's the case, because my knowledge, after having owned a few cars over the years, is that 3 years is the standard warranty that's offered.
Yeah, and I think when I was looking at matters ahead of this podcast, I think, like say, 3 to 7 years is fairly standard, but there is also obviously something to bear in mind. Some are limited by mileage, or it may be an alternative, so it may be 3 years or X mileage. Again, you know, it picking up on what you said there, if it was a low mileage, that might sort of make you think twice about you know, purchasing it. So generally, as I said, new cars should come with it.
Yes.
They also may have an option, and you just mentioned this, to extend at the end of the ordinary manufacturer's warranty. So that obviously could prolong the life of the warranty. If you're buying a nearly new car, so perhaps it's had one previous owner or sort of something similar, then it may still be under the original manufacturer's warranty, as that is linked to the vehicle as opposed to the owner.
So let's just make that absolutely clear, because that's actually a very interesting point. So say you go and buy a car that's a year old car from a private, you might buy it from, you know, your neighbour, or privately looking through the Auto Trader or another sort of online purchasing. The car, if it comes with the standard 3 year warranty, when you buy the car, you've still got 2 years warranty remaining on it. Or if it had an extended, if it had up to 7 years as a new car, as you say, the warranty belongs to the car. And we will come on to the limitations that you need to look out for, because I think that's really, really important. But yes, in terms of, does car warranty automatically come with a used car?
Yes. So this, as I said, if it's a nearly new one, you may still be included in the original. If it is older, then it's unlikely to come with a warranty. Now, some sort of bigger secondhand dealerships will often sort of offer what's called an approved used warranty or something similar. Now, they're generally going to be for shorter periods of time. And I think generally, my experience, it's about 12 months.
Yes.
But they do all vary. So that is probably something you're going to have to purchase on top of the car from the dealership. Now, another alternative, if you're sort of getting into that arena, is that you can just by yourself, get a car warranty separately. And most comparison sites have sort of an option that you can, you know, put in and compare the different sort of warranties for a used car that's out of its manufacturing warranty, and you can look at all the sort of different provisions. They may be cheaper than what a garage is going to offer you, so it may be worth sort of looking into that. And again, what it will cover will vary from sort of policy to policy.
So yes, no, absolutely. And I think that's really interesting, because I have to say, as a standard sort of member of the public that I am, I wouldn't automatically have known that I could go and buy my own car warranty if I was buying a used car outside of the manufacturer's warranty you know, on the market. But I think it's really key, and this is, you know, something that I've been asked over and over again, what should people check and look out for when taking out a car warranties? Because, you know, you've mentioned it already about the mileage, and you're absolutely right. Warranties, car warranties would generally only cover cars up to a specific age and mileage. And if you exceed the stated mileage, you will invalidate your warranty. So say, for example, even if it's a new car and the warranty says we'll cover you up to 100,000 miles. Now, bearing in mind, the last time I checked, I think the average yearly mileage was 12,000 miles a year. So if you've got your car, the warranty's for 3 years, they're expecting you to do 36,000 or a maximum of 50,000 if you've driven a bit more, and you go over that 100,000 that states in the warranty, you're only covered for this warranty if you go over that, and then the car starts falling apart, your warranty will be invalidated if you go over the T's and C's in terms of mileage on that. And I think that's really important. But what else should people check for when they're buying car warranty, whether it's through the dealership that they're buying this used car from, or whether they are going to a market to say, right, I'd like to purchase a car warranty from a comparison website for my new car that's a used car that doesn't have a manufacturer's warranty with it?
So I guess before taking out any sort of car warranty, and it's probably the same whatever warranty you're going to be looking at, but first of all is check what it actually covers. So the things that I mentioned at the outset, which I would say are probably, you know, what we'd say big ticket items, and so things that are going to cost you a lot to rectify. So engine, brakes, clutch, gearbox, suspension, steering, air conditioning. Then sort of look, does it cover anything else? Is there anything that's specifically excluded? Are sort of labour and parts covered? What are your obligations? So what do you have to do in order to make sure that the warranty stays, you know, as you say, validated? Or
That's very interesting, Rebecca, isn't it? Because it brings us on to wear and tear. If you're abusing the car, or the car has been through some big pothole or something, and I'm just assuming here, the engine drops or something, the gearbox fails because you've had, you know, somebody in there who's been driving it. It might not be you, might be a member of your family who's insured to drive it and have ripped it to parts and the gearbox has blown up. Wear and tear, that's a very fine line when it comes to warranties, isn't it? Because, I mean, let's face it, no warranty provider can cover for all consumables, right? So even the most comprehensive covers won't cover everything, for example, like brake pads, which I mentioned earlier, batteries, clutch plates. So wear and tear, I think, is that fine line when someone says, well, no, actually, that's not wear and tear. That should have lasted longer than it has. So I think it's really important, as you say, to make sure you understand what level of wear and tear your warranty covers you for. And it may not be clear, you know, it might not be that clear.
And I think that's where most disputes arise in terms of when you've got a dispute as to, you know, the warranty provider saying they're not going to cover it. Because the problem with wear and tear is, how do you say whether it's wear and tear or, you know, that shouldn't have happened? And quite often you may have to get an expert to look at it, obviously depending on the values involved, etc. But yeah, I would say that was definitely probably where a lot of disputes can arise. And that's why it is important to look after, like anything, look after your car, because the better chance you're going to have, if they do want to dispute wear and tear, that you're going to have to, you know, be able to demonstrate, well, no, I have looked after the car. So I think that is, you know, an important thing really to sort of bear in mind. In terms of anything else to look out for, I think we'll probably come on to this, but making sure that you comply with any obligations in relation to servicing.
Yes, we will touch on that in a moment. Yes.
Look at if there's any particular requirements or maximum levels, as we've already discussed, you know, mileage, or is it limited to a certain numerical figure? You know, it's limited to replacing something up to the tune of £5,000 or something like that. Are you only permitted to make a claim within a certain period? So if a fault arises, do you only have X number of weeks to make.
That's very interesting, because you could have the car in the garage trying to get it fixed for a long time because parts might not be available or whatever it may be, or you might be just living with the fault, because let's face it, lots of hours of our days are filled up and we're quite busy. And I've done it, you know, in the past where there's something wrong, you thought, right, I'm going to sort that out next week. And then when they, you know, they might come and say to you, well, when did it actually happen? It happened too long ago. But I've heard terms of consequential failure and betterment. And I have to say, when I was reading up what they actually mean, consequential failure is when, for example, a part that is covered by your warranty fails, and it also causes the failure of another part that isn't covered. So some warranty providers will say, well, we repair the part that's covered, but not the part that's not covered. And you have to, you know, fork out for that. I think that's their terms that sometimes can appear in warranty covers. And betterment, now this one surprised me, I have to say, Rebecca, because betterment means that if your car requires a new part to get up and running again, some warranty providers will send you a bill, because a new part is better than the original one as such and has increased the value of your car. For example, a new engine or a gearbox. And it, apparently it could leave you facing a big bill for thousands of pounds. I didn't know that that was even a term that it, you know, existed, let alone it meant that.
Yeah, so that's sort of what we would say is an ordinary contractual principle. So quite often if you have a dispute and you say you're in breach of contract and in order to rectify it, you'll be in a better position. Well, as a rule of thumb, you're not entitled to be in a better position. You're only entitled to be in the position you would have been had that not occurred.
But it doesn't make sense, because, for example, if the gearbox has blown up and the warranty says, we accept it's blown up and you need a new one. Now, naturally, the new one's going to be worth more than the old one, even if, you know, it didn't blow up. It's going to be worth, because it's a new part. So that's another, I think that's another very fine line, and probably where some arguments could occur. I couldn't imagine making a warranty claim and them saying, yes, oh yes, we'll give you a new clutch or we'll give you a new gearbox, but you have to pay for it because it's going to make your car worth so much more.
Yep, and I guess if you're ever going to be in that situation, one would hope that they would tell you about it before they did any work, and you could push back and say, No, I want you to find me a direct replacement that's not going to put me in a better position. You know, I don't want to pay for it, etc. And, you know, that is going to be something that you should be able to push for under your terms.
Yes.
It's all going to come down to those terms.
Very, very fine lines. Yes. I mean, one of the questions that I've certainly asked myself over the years, and I've certainly heard it as a conversational topic, is, can we service our cars elsewhere in order to keep the warranty valid? Now, I've heard of something called the European Union block exemption legislation. And without sounding all legally and very, you know, very quickly boring potentially, apparently it's been active for many years. And even though the UK's out of the EU, it still stands, which means, so in that big long-term legislation, it basically means, yes, you can.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like a broken record somewhat here. It's obviously going to be important to check your warranty to exactly what it says.
Yes.
But certain things that they can require you to do in terms of servicing, you know, is actually servicing itself. And it may be that in order to keep your warranty, it's absolutely essential you've had it serviced. Picking up on the particular dealers and where you get it done point, I think this was a particular issue whereby, manufacturers were forcing people to go to a particular garage, and that particular garage was often more expensive than, for example, your high street garage or you know, something similar. And that would often be a bit of a query, because you'd be like, well, do I go there and not, invalidate my warranty, or do I pay the kind of higher price? So in terms of the thing that you mentioned with regards to the EU, that was something that was basically brought in to say that car manufacturers can't force people to have their car serviced at a particular place. And as you say, I'm not an EU lawyer, but my understanding is it does remain in place.
Yes.
That's not to say, though, that they can't have any terms sort of attached to it, because, as I said, it may be that they require you to have it serviced at particular intervals. And it may be that they want you to have it sort of serviced by a reputable repairer or worse.
Yes, effect. Yes.
And I think really what's going to be key is that you make sure whoever's doing the service stamps the book and keeps a record, and a good record, of any work that has been done. And if they put any sort of products into your car, so oil or that sort of thing, ask them to give you the information as to what has actually been put in your car. So provide any, documents, invoices, receipts, all of that sort of thing. And that will help you if you have a problem down the line to be able to demonstrate that when you've had the works there, you've had your car serviced, it's all within your manufacturer's guidelines. And they do, I know this, like sometimes it is a dispute as to whether the car fault is something that is covered by the warranty or whether it's as a result of sort of shoddy servicing, for want of a better phrase. So if you're going to do that, make sure you get really good records and invoices and all of those sorts of things so that you're going to put yourself in the best position if you have a dispute down the line. Obviously, another sort of argument to that is if you do get it serviced at their particular preferred dealership or something like that, then you are going to, or you would hope you're not going to have any difficulty down the line with that argument. So it will come, I guess, not a legal point, but more of a practical point. It's a cost benefit thing.
Yes, but the short answer is, if you go to a reputable garage and not just your mate down the road who does it in his front drive and doesn't really know what he's doing and it's his hobby. I mean, you have to go to a reputable garage. You can go to another dealership and another garage to get your car serviced. But I think that, like you very well put there, Rebecca, get your book stamped, keep records of everything that's been done and carried out with receipts, so that if there is ever a dispute, you can say, well, actually, here's what was done and how. Okay, time to discuss one more area. This is going to be the million-dollar question. What are the first steps that we should take if we have a dispute with our car warranty provider? And I know car warranties, I would say, are the same as any other contract. It's a contractual agreement. So there's lots of confusing things in there. Too much small print, too many pages sometimes. But what are sort of the initial steps you would say are some of the best steps that someone can take, Rebecca?
So I guess first and foremost, and I'm going to be sort of referring back to another podcast here, Hattie, is that one thing to remember before you go down the sort of warranty route, you do have certain, thinking about new cars here, you do have certain protections under the Consumer Rights Act. And obviously we don't have time to cover that in detail today, but if you do have a problem with your goods in perhaps the first 6 months, remember that you do have a right to go back to the person that you got the car from. In particular, if there's a problem within 30 days of delivery, you can claim a refund. And if it's outside the 30 days, but within the 6 months, you can ask them to repair or replace. And you can still rely on it beyond 6 months, excuse me, but it may be more difficult because the things that you're going to be looking at are satisfactory quality, fitness for purpose, etc. But one would hope if there was a serious problem with your car, those sort of things would be covered. So important just to remember that your rights, as per those consumer rights, are still there. But in terms of your warranty, first thing to do if you've got a dispute, look at your warranty, make sure you're familiar with it, because that's going to put you in the best possible position to put your point across, and then get in touch with the manufacturer supplier. Quite often you'll be able to find the phone number actually on the document itself. If you can't, you'll probably be able to find it online. when you get in touch with them, I would say provide as much detail as you possibly can and as much information as possible. And again, I would say always cooperate. You know, it's really important if these things do have to escalate into legal proceedings. You know, it's going to be able to demonstrate that you've done everything that you could to cooperate and provide the information. And one thing to always bear in mind is, again, if it were to escalate to court proceedings, your correspondence may end up in front of a judge. So think about that when you're sending, you know, or you want to send your really aggressive email. Think about that. If it does go forward, that correspondence could be part of evidence. In terms of once you've made contact, obviously the next step will be to wait and see what they say. If they reject it, obviously consider the reasons why they're rejecting it. If they're, so you can say it's not covered, check again against the wording. Don't be afraid to go back to them and say, I don't agree with you on this. I think it should be covered. If you feel that they're not honouring it, you know, and you do feel that that's particularly wrong, then you could look to pursue them for a breach of contract, and obviously look to pursue them legally. I would recommend seeking advice if you were going to think about doing that. Can get it, obviously, free advice from Citizens Advice, or you can try and get in touch with a solicitor. I guess one thing to remember is that the company that you're likely to be dealing with are probably going to have their own legal team. So it may be a benefit to try and speak to a lawyer yourself. But of course, you do have, and I'm sure you've probably got another podcast on this, Hattie, in terms of the Small Claims Court.
Yes.
It's always an option to look at pursuing them in a small claims court, and that is a relatively low risk activity, and it's obviously generally designed to be sort of carried out by litigants in person without lawyers, and that's it.
Yes, we recorded that with HMCTS, Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals, and it's online money claims, and it's very, very informative. We have two episodes on that actually, but that's very, very sound, Rebecca. I mean, I think, you know, one of the key things that just really stood out for me is that you've said, amongst other things, is absolutely keep a record of everything that's being said between you and the warranty provider. And yes, remember that if it does become more contentious and it becomes escalated and you do end up in a courtroom, that a judge will be privy to everything that's been written. But yes, I mean, I think that getting legal advice before you launch any sort of claim is valuable, and it's all going to be commercially a point that you need to think about as well, i.e. if you're arguing over £200 with the warranty provider, and I'm assuming it's probably be more, but say it's £200 figure, getting legal advice will probably cost you a little bit more than that if it's not free. There's always direct access. Do you do direct access, Rebecca? I've never asked you that. You do. Well, let's talk about that. So direct access, we have, again, podcasts on that, means that you can go directly to Rebecca's chambers at 23 Essex Street and instruct her to do your work, or talk to her about doing your work, and her clerk. So you don't just pick up the phone and say, hi, Rebecca. You speak to her clerk and you would say, I'd like to ask for Rebecca's advice and assistance. This is what my issue is. How much would it cost? And the clerk will then discuss all of that with you. And then you can instruct barristers like Rebecca on a direct access basis without going through a solicitor's firm. So that can be very cost effective, and a smart thing to do. If you ask me, I'd say people should go direct access for most things where they can, or it's not very heavily administratively involved and things like that. But Rebecca, that's all we've got time for.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Hattie.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that we've given lots of takeaways for our listeners today. But thank you ever so much for your time, and thank you for your wise words of greatness on car warranties.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
What I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts, and you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.